Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Chairman, you keep saying the Biden, suggesting that includes President Biden, but what evidence do you have directly linking President Biden beyond a dinner, a letter, a copy, and some appearances on speakerphone? You keep saying the Biden. We're talking about President Biden specifically. What evidence do you have that he profited off his son's porn business?
We have two checks. And I don't cite Politico very often, but they ran a good story that for some reason Politico didn't put on their morning link, but it was about the AmeriCorps Health. $200,000 payment Joe Biden received directly from an influence peddling scheme. There's no question about it. Joe Biden received two payments. We found this through subpoenaed bank records. Two payments. You forget to write this in your outreach. The first payment was $200,000 from AmeriCorps Health. There's no question that money came directly from influence peddling. We have traced the money, and it wasn't very hard to trace. The second was the $40,000 payment I just referenced in my opening statement. $40,000 that came directly from Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden shakedown, where he said his father is sitting beside him.
You're putting steps between, so the check and President.
The
Biden.
Steps are called money laundering. That's what the steps are called.
To the President of the United States.
He's the what?
You connect this to the President of the United States,
yes.
Not his son, not his family members. It appears when you say
well,
the
reason they didn't send the money directly to Joe Biden, they sent it through the shell companies. That's what this scheme's about. That's why there are 170 suspicious activity reports from six different banks that alerted the Treasury Department that they feared their client, Hunter Biden, was money laundering. This is a very serious crime. The number of financial crimes that this family has been investigated for and no resolution to any investigation. Every investigation was called up. Think about this. The Bidens have been investigated by the FBI. They've been investigated by three different U.S. attorney offices. They've been investigated by the IRS. They've been investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The list goes on and on and on.
Mr. Chairman,
but yet every time we were told what Shapley and Ziegler said, they were told to stand down. So there's two parts of this investigation. There's the actual Biden crimes, and then there's the cover-up.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the show. It's Hump Day, February 28, 2022. We're so happy to have you with us, and hopefully you are going to have a good time today. I consider this show one of the best, top-notch grassroots news media, news media broadcast. Online today. We've been going for about 12 years or more. We've been everywhere. We've been stationary for a couple of years, but we've been everywhere. We've been on the front lines. We've been behind the scenes. And again, we want to welcome every one of you that are watching and sharing the show. Let me also give a shout out to those that visit WayneDupree.com and also share the website, because we are desperately suppressed in what we have been doing. Actually, we've been suppressed since 2020 for the website. 2020 for the website. And even if you don't go to the website, you can sign up for the newsletter. And then if you get, when you get the morning newsletter in your email, just click on whatever story that you want to see. You don't have to go to the website then. You can just pick and choose whatever story that you want to read and possibly leave a comment. Let me introduce Godfather Conservative Radio, Mr. Huck Bailey Jr.
Morning, Wayne. Good morning, Jason. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I just had a quick question. If you're born tomorrow, what day is your birthday?
Tomorrow.
But what date?
You age very slowly, only every 4 years.
Yeah. You know what? I had a question about that. And for the most part, whenever I hear people talk, well, I just celebrate on both days, February 28th and March 1st. So I get 2 days. Let me introduce the youngling from Muslim Minnesota. Well, I'm from Muslim Soda. Mr. Jason Robinson.
Hutch Wayne audience. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. You know, hump day is the perfect day to hit the share button. Get whatever platform you're on, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button, and let's go.
So also put some money in the offering plate. Listen, I said something just a few minutes ago, and I did it on purpose. I thought about it before I did it. I did it on purpose because I wanted to see if anybody was going to catch it. And I'm looking in the chat. And I'm not seeing anything. Let me check on Rumble real quick. My boys didn't catch it because they didn't correct me. So let me see. Nope, not yet. Okay. I said 2022.
Oh.
When it's 2024.
I thought you said on the current date. Gotcha.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of figured that we might have a little slack down in numbers on Rumble since Bondino owns Rumble. But
there's nobody in the chat.
I see that. I see. I've been watching.
The chat was fire yesterday there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe everybody's just getting their cup of coffee ready and settling in.
Come on, but that ain't no way to be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know when some people
damn man.
I got a lot of support through DMs and, and watched God for yesterday. I'm going to tell you one reason why I'm not going to really get into it. And then we're going to get into our news. I talked to a couple people behind the scenes yesterday, one in the Trump campaign, one not in Trump campaign, about what happened. And I said, well, they said what they would have done is they would have come back after my tweet and say, you know what, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And let it go instead of it going the way that he did and stuff. So one of the reasons why I didn't continue is because if I had this platform that he had, I'd be going at him too. If I had that platform, if I had the money, if I had the platform like him, I'd be going back and forth. It was a losing, even if I felt like, well, which I feel like I'm in the right, it was a losing point for me because he has, was he at 2 million, I guess, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, he has over 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million followers. So, I was like, nah. I ain't gonna mess. And, I say what I said. I was right. I'm moving on. So that's how that is. We got a call before we go in. It's from Vancouver.
Oh man, it's Carl.
Yeah, I think so. Again, you can call us at 1-800-895-5725. If you call us. And hopefully you call us during the show. We'll try to get your call on during the show. 1-800, it's right at the top. 1-800-895-5725. This is from Vancouver. It was Actually, it was done today, this morning.
Hey, Wayne. Totally being respectful here, but your friend Jason owes me $1,000. We bet, and it was a gentleman's bet, and it was a fair bet and a respectful bet. 91 cases, he wanted to bet on a federal charge, the upcoming January 6th, and the Georgia election scheme fraud trial. He's already found a rapist, and he's already been found a fraudster in New York City. Can't do business in New York City and has to pay up $500 million because of his fraud charges. So at this time, Jason, you owe me $1,000, bro. It's no big deal. It's only $1,000. And you can send that to me anytime. What we'll do is we can certainly wait till the fraud, federal cases come out. No big deal. I know that we bet just $1,000 on the first charge. But I think you're going to try to get out of that. But anyways, you can't. It is $1,000 bet. You owe me $1,000, and you know where I'm at. You just have to answer the phone. I'm here. You got my phone number. Give me a call, or all you got to do is just mention on the show, hey, where do I send $1,000 to Carl? Admit you lost. You lost. Trump lost. You owe me $1,000.
No, you know who lost? Canada lost because of idiots like you.
Oh my gracious!
I was gonna say,
yeah. Let me also say respectfully to Carl. I hand it over to Jason. Jason, I told you that you gotta explain it to him.
Say one, Carl. You have low comprehension skills. First of all, second of all, Donald Trump isn't a rapist. You just committed defamation against President Trump. And just because you're slow, let me play the video again. You put it on half speed, Carl. Hang on. The leaks. So he trumped up these charges to 34 felonies.
That's 34 times 5 years in jail.
Right. Yeah. And it's not going to hold up. It's not going to work. It's all a show. Yeah. He knows it. Everybody knows it. And I mean, there's some people I stand corrected. There are some people that really believe that these are legitimate charges. And let's book the action, folks. Carl's our favorite Facebook poop poster. Carl, $1,000 to the charity of your choice. If Trump is convicted of a felony, but if he's not in this New York stuff, $1,000 to the charity of the show's choice. Will you take the action or will you just shut up?
Carl. Wait.
I'll front the money.
That's $1,000 out of his pocket because I ain't got it. So.
Yeah, no, I'll put $1,000 of my money. Carl said book it. All right.
Okay. All right, there we go.
All right, Carl. So just to explain, in case you're slow, the money goes to the charity of the choice. When Donald Trump, when the case is decided in New York, this is the Stormy Daniels case. The show is on April 4th, and Donald Trump has not been convicted of anything in that. So hit pause, rewind, play it again, Carl. I know you're not real smart. I know those terms might have been confusing. We bet $1,000 that Trump would be convicted of a felony on the Stormy Daniels case. And just so you know, dude, the bet was to a charity of your choice, not to the charity being Carl. So quit being a turd, quit being a moron, and have a glorious, glorious hump day. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't even go further with it, though, because the judge said that the guy is not a rapist. And Carl just said he is. So going forward, I'd just terminate the whole thing. That's not, you can't trust a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's just stupid or if he ate paint chips or what happened, but the wager was really clear. Like the show was on April 4th. It was the Stormy Daniels case. We bet that he would be convicted of a felony. I don't believe he will be.
And how can you cheer for liberty being taken away from people? Because that's what you're cheering.
No, he's cheering money.
And it's so funny, too. I bet to give money to a charity, and I say, well, the money's going to my church. Here's the church name, Eagle Brook Church. Go to eaglebrook.com. And meanwhile, Carl's like, my charity's myself. It's Carl.
But see, that's why I kept saying that you need to be more. Some people need very clear things when it comes down to that, because when you say a charity of his choice, then it's for him to choose whatever that goes to.
Yeah.
And but you said that it goes to your church, right?
Yep.
So it's like, okay, well, if that's what, you know, I'm like,
if I lose, I'll give the money to the charity of his choice. I mean, right. If he wants it to go to his church, if he wants it to go to some abortion thing, like, a bet's a bet. But that charity ain't going to be Carl. And just so you guys know, Carl's all about this, like, putting the dirty books in schools. So that's probably where he's going to have me give the money.
Either way, I told you, we take phone calls, and that's...
Uh-oh.
Okay.
We lost Wayne.
Yeah, we did. Fix that. Can you fix that frames?
Yeah, let me work on it.
A lot of stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's so much stuff. You know, we just had a primary yesterday in Michigan, which is pretty interesting. And there's a lot of people coming out that are kind of making light of the fact that in Dearborn, Michigan, the electorate, the Democrat electorate selected none of the above. It's not worded that way. It's non-committed or something like that. But there's people happy that Biden got beaten by this group of people that voted uncommitted. And I'm sitting there going, this is not a good story, folks. We have an American city that has been captured by the enemy. They voted for Hamas in that primary.
Yep.
You better pay attention to that. That's not a good thing.
Well, that primary result was fascinating, too, because it was, I mean, about 800,000 people voted for Trump, 250,000 voted for Nikki. And then if you look at the combined Biden numbers, it was only like 700,000. Uh-oh, Hutch has the cat now. We've lost total control. We got Carl, Wayne's flicked out, the cat's going crazy.
You know what, though? And you know, I really want... I was going to touch on it, but I really wasn't going to get into it. But I was like, God damn, there's a lot of people, though. And I mean, for me, when I was looking at the number before I went to bed, and I think it's worse in South Carolina. It's worse. And I'm like, something has to set in. Like, it's time to get out. Okay? I mean, look, devil's advocate. I give you props for hanging in there. It's time to go. To me, it looked like she lost worse than South Carolina, and she's talking about standing till Super Tuesday is not going to fix anything. Really? Seriously? What?
I saw an article that... Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, my cat's big. You don't want him up here. I saw a thing that said that Trump beat all Democrats, including the ones that voted for Haley.
Right.
The end result numbers. That's like a big deal, man. That's these numbers are getting, I don't want to say unbeatable, because I'm not a damn fool.
But see, that's my issue too, is the other side of the coin. Because if they are splitting and voting for Nikki Haley, well, actually, you can't vote for both. So there's a large number of people that are crossing over, I guess, to vote for Nikki Haley, and they're not voting for Biden. But they couldn't vote for Biden in the general election. I'm like, so hopefully we aren't seeing it as a split number, and only this is just going to vote for him, and these people are going to stay home. That, and both of you, I said it over a minute, you got to play like you're from behind.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the biggest blow, and I have to say the biggest blow that they can deliver to MAGA, to Americans, and the back of Donald Trump, is that they steal it from him in November with all these numbers that he's winning by 50 and 60 points. And that alone probably would at least pull 30 or 40% away from ever voting again.
Well, let me give you another way to look at this Haley candidacy. Let's hypothetically say she is a puppet of the Uniparty and the military industrial complex, which I think there is plenty of evidence to support that.
Yeah, her house.
Her house. Yeah, I mean, look at it. She got into public service. She became an ambassador at the UN. She was broke as a joke. She goes into the private sector in the military industrial complex, gets $8 million. Suddenly everything's groovy. And now she's running against Trump. So assuming that the military industrial complex or whomever put her up to this, all they're trying to do is damage Trump. That's it. Because they know if Trump wins, he stops the war. He cuts the spending. I mean, right now they're licking their chops because that $60 billion going to Ukraine, $48 billion going to them. They know that gravy train stops with President Trump. So Nikki is just doing whatever they're telling her to. If they're saying stay until Super Tuesday, if they say stay until the convention, that's how long she's staying in.
I'll tell you something else you can look at, too. When you look at these senior senators like Mitt Romney and yesterday Chuck Schumer came out and said the same thing, that this is the most important bill he has ever worked on in his career.
Right.
That tells you all you need to know about the Ukraine funding.
Yep.
This is a World Economic Forum thing. I told you before, it's to stop Russia because Russia has said no to the WEF. We are not doing any of that. And he means it. And so they're trying to destroy Russia.
It serves like five or six different interest groups. Military Industrial Complex, World Economic Forum, you know, the BlackRock for rebuilding Ukraine. Like all of that is just all those big companies are just sitting there licking their chops. And they just want Nikki to damage Trump. That's it. That's all she's there for.
Because
actually, they want anybody to damage Trump. I mean,
right.
They want to keep their world alive.
Right, exactly. And right now, who is it? And I'm sure that they probably talked about that in the Oval Office yesterday, too. But what happened, two things that are over. Well, actually, to go back with what you were saying about the Ukraine thing, I think Poland or Germany, somebody said that they were going to send troops. I don't know if y'all had heard
France.
That.
France
said that they were going to send
troops. Everybody else said no.
Right.
Well, yeah.
They're like, are y'all crazy?
Who is it? Russia came out and said, Poland, you better not send nobody.
Poland, you better not send nobody. I'll say it too.
Basically, they said, Poland, you better not send nobody. So this morning, Germany and Poland said, we're not going to deploy troops to the Ukraine.
Good. Thing.
We're not going to do it. So France is kind of rethinking their strategy from what I heard. But in going and also adding to what y'all were saying yesterday about the funding, Mitch McConnell.
Oh, he's in trouble.
Tried to bully Mike Johnson.
Yep.
In the Oval Office yesterday. Mitch. China Mitch.
I'll tell you, folks, I'll tell you this is what I started doing. You know, there's a Twitter handle for the House GOP, and people monitor it. I found every illegal alien murder story I could find, and I prefaced it with at House GOP. We have got to hold them accountable. They have got to understand that the number one issue in America is immigration invasion, not freaking Ukraine. Americans don't give a damn about Ukraine, but I think that this immigration problem, I think it's going to turn Democrats voting Trump. I don't see how it doesn't. I mean, because people, I'm even seeing it a little bit here, but there's people that it's in their face, man.
Well, and you look at the number of crimes, you look at the severity of the crimes. Every day there's a new story that comes out about it. And this Georgia one's the worst. Today, New York Post drops an article that says because she resisted, the dude panicked and smashed her head with a rock. And then one of the mayors or the police chief came out, and I just caught a bit of the video, and he said, oh, this isn't about illegal immigration. I'm like, are you kidding me?
PBS came out and said, this is a singular incident. You shouldn't be worried about this whole group of people. It's like, man, screw all of you people.
Well, and if you want to have some fun, look at Venezuelan crime rates.
It went down.
They've plummeted to their lowest levels in decades because Venezuela emptied their prisons and sent them all here.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you what, I went to school with a whole lot of Venezuelans. We're in for a problem.
Right.
Breaking news. Got a Twitter response. Let me get this mic up here. For those that want to send responses, if you don't want to call in, you can send a response. It's from William Taft. Wayne, you have a genuine, sincere podcast with receipts. I love your podcast and love to see you Monday through Friday, especially leading up to the November election. I personally want to see more of your podcast than less. I do not need a break. I watch your show Monday through Thursday, but I feel that y'all are doing yourself an injustice by not doing your show on Friday. Bongino does his podcast Monday through Friday and every other Saturday. Wendy Bell does her two-hour podcast Monday through Friday. The War Room Bannon podcast is Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12, 5 to 6. So
he's trying to butter us up, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this saying we're going to be doing Fridays now?
No, but here's the thing. And William, thank you. Thank you so much. They got money. We don't. they have donor contributor and whatnot. We don't. So actually, didn't I used to say that? You know, like if we got something on a regular basis, we would add an extra show on Friday. So yeah, that's
I'm glad he mentioned Wendy Bell. She's from Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah? She's from Pittsburgh. Okay. Yeah. The local, she was a local TV, like Carrie Lake. She was like Carrie Lake, and there was a shooting at a house party, and she reported on it, and she screwed up and said something truthful, and they fired her. Yeah, they got rid of her. She has like 6-7 kids. Good woman.
It's amazing, too, when you look at people in the media. You're seeing more of it now. I mean, a lot of people are getting fired, but a lot of good reporters in the last 24 months have left and started doing Substacks and independent journalism.
And another good thing is the leftist media is destroying itself. Vice media is out the door.
Right.
Vice media started out with good reporting, and then they just ruined it.
Yeah, they did.
And that reporting on Ukraine in 2014 was amazing.
Actually, Vice stood the chance. Wayne looks excited.
Mitch McConnell to step down as Republican Senate leader in November.
Now watch John Thune's coming. Get somebody besides Thune.
Who do we want, guys? Who do we get behind? Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's a new GOP, folks. Don't blow it.
Do you think what he did to Johnson was the main reason why?
I think he's going senile too. But the thing about it, he didn't do that to Johnson. He did that to us. Right. He told Johnson, stop talking about the border.
Well, and I will say too, shout out to Matt Gaetz, because if that's Kevin McCarthy, this bill's already passed.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we are critical of Johnson. We are not the biggest Johnson fan. We had high hopes, but this.
Wait a minute. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of him because I just wanted to give him a chance.
Right.
Because I love his Christian spirit. Did you see some of those Republicans saying that they were getting tired of him talking about Jesus or God and stuff?
Yep.
Did you see that? I was like, oh man. I mean, that's
sweeping the whole country.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I know it is. Yeah. The thing that gets me the most, the thing that surprises me the most is the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish speech that's coming out. That blew, you know, this guy, the guy that burned himself up in D.C., or wherever he was, the Air Force guy that self-emulated himself. You know that guy worked for the NSA?
Oh.
He was a cyber. He was going through our emails.
What's crazy, too, is his social media posts are starting to come out, and he didn't hide his identity. So if they just did regular backgrounds or regular monitoring of them, which they're supposed to, from my understanding, they would have.
He had the highest security clearance there is. He worked for the NSA. They knew everything about this guy. He's an anarchist, and there was other problems that he had.
Yep.
I mean, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they have to eliminate Jews and Christians.
Yeah.
Because if you think of the left, all their ideology is religion. They just call it something else. They call it climate change. They call it transgender. They call it whatever. It just replaces religion. It has all the same earmarks of a religion. But if you believe in God, you believe in the commandments, you behave in a certain way, that's how your worldview is formed. You have to separate people from that so that you can manipulate them into doing what you want. It's the exact same thing that the CCP did when we talk about new federal state of China. They went in and they got rid of religion. That's step one. Religion and family. Those got to go.
Again, if you want to leave if you have a special feeling about Mitch stepping down in November, you can leave us a message. 1-800-895-5725. That's 1-800-895-5725. If you want to leave a message during the show, you can do that. And again, we will pick it up and we will play it for you. 1-800-895-5725. But it took a while, but we tried to get rid of Mitch years ago. We were talking about that the other day.
You look at the deep state uniparty too. I'll just explain something real quick. What happened yesterday, 2 days ago, Americans for Prosperity Action took their money away from Nikki Haley.
They
withdrew their funding. 30 seconds later, John Thune endorsed President Trump. Beware, John Thune.
In the Senate,
North Dakota, there aren't. Christy Noem and him, be careful.
I was going to say, we can all agree there's 10 to 20 people you can trust in the House, maybe, for now. That's Senate, you're probably talking about 5, maybe. Right.
Yeah, Thune is, if the food supply scares you, Thune is owned by big agriculture. That's what they got in North Dakota. That's who owns him.
You know, I give it up for my distinguished representative from Minnesota for his optimism in that, because I don't trust nobody up there. I don't trust nobody and their mama. I don't trust them. I'd rather shut it down and start all over from the dirt.
How do you go through your whole life and never did anything wrong?
Right.
That's the congressman. I mean, you got all the agencies and the whole federal government looking at everything you ever did in your life.
That's crazy.
That's why I ain't never running for Congress.
Yeah. And you know, some people say, Wayne, why don't you run? Because they probably drum up something I did in elementary school when I held a girl's hand or pinched a little girl's, leg or something like that. And I'll be out. Sexual harassment when he was 5 years old. Yeah, so I don't need that. I don't need it. You said Senator Thune is big and is backed by what?
Big, the big farm conglomerates and everything. The people that make Cheerios, you know what I mean? Big agriculture. The Monsantos and the GMO foods and all that.
Yeah, we haven't dug into that as much. And frankly, it's been back burner, but big ag is just as bad as big pharma and big tech. So,
and working with the CCP.
Right. Yeah. You've
heard the stories of Chinese purchasing farmland.
Yeah. We did a deep dive on the Tribune where we went into ethanol subsidies. Biggest scam ever.
Oh my God. It takes more than a gallon of diesel to make a gallon of ethanol.
Right. Yeah. And the money all ends up at the corporations. If you break it down, they frame it up where, oh, this is beneficial to farmers. And for every dollar spent by the federal government, $0.90 go to the corporations and 10 cents to the farmers. It's ridiculous.
And they're in cahoots with each other because it's the Food and Drug Administration.
We've talked about that before. Yeah, their names are exactly who they are. Okay. Yeah. Food and Drug ATF.
It's like the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Right.
They're enforcing drugs, boy. You gotta take them. It's a quota.
Well, yeah, I mean, just think, like, make a loaf of bread. It's good for 3 days and it's good for 3 weeks off the shelf. Something ain't right.
I'll tell you what, you look at the Wikipedia bio or whatever other kind of bio of the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, the dude made all his money at Big Pharma.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's a Big Pharma guy. He's poisoning your butt so you can have to take drugs the rest of your life. Yep. Why do you think there's such a rise in diabetes?
Well, and think of all the processed foods people consume.
Yeah.
And the wife and I have been trying to eat better the last 2-3 weeks.
Me too.
And it's been like, you know, protein and vegetables and different things. And it's amazing how much better you start to feel. But you do feel hungry a lot because, like, you don't have all that garbage in you.
I ate last night. Now, I got to admit, I made it out of a box. But I made scalloped potatoes and put leftover ham in it. Ooh, oh, it was that good. Oh, I haven't had that. My wife doesn't like scalloped potatoes. I haven't had that in 20 years.
Oh, yeah, boy, potatoes are amazing.
We used to have this Slotsky's Deli over here on the East Coast. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Yeah, there's still a few of those around.
Yeah, deep south. They don't have them up here anymore. But I remember that sandwich, and I was like, I'm going to make that sandwich with real deli meat, not the processed stuff. I'm going to make it. So I was like, yeah, I got to do that. But yeah, what's quick? You remember, do I still have it? Yeah. You remember this right here? I made that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now imagine two gone and then one of them, and leaving two, but one of those two, the skin is gone. That's what I woke up to this morning. And I was like, what the heck? It's like, how did that happen?
Oh, that skin's the best part.
Ex-wife came in here and slipped off some of that skin while everybody was asleep last night.
Is that why she's the ex-wife? She was taking all your chicken skin?
No, Junior. No, but I mean, I was and I sent a text message to everybody in the group. I'm like, and I sent the picture. I'll just leave the chicken and
take the whole thing.
Yeah, this kid got all the kids are like, it wasn't me. And then the ex-wife said, yeah, I stopped by.
Damn, while you were sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some okay.
Yeah, she stopped by. And yeah, she works late. So
I made some ribs for a group of people at my house one time. And like two racks of them or three. And the ex-wife stopped over.
I remember it.
And she freaking grabbed a thing of foil trays. She loaded all the ribs on there and told everybody ribs are gone. I mean, I had all these people down there, none of them got to eat ribs. She unasked out the back door.
There's a reason they're ex-wives, guys. That's all I'm
saying. Rib bandit, boy. Rib bandit.
True story.
Hey, I know. That's right. I mean, because I can see it happening. You know, I can see it going on. You hide the thing in the pantry and come out. Oh, the ribs are gone.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed them.
Okay, from the funny to the ridiculous.
We have been doing work to promote voter participation for students. And, for example, we have...
I want you to understand this and listen to it.
Carefully.
Like you ain't never listened to anything before. Okay? Because not only are they playing this student game and they're playing it it's not even even.
They're paying them too.
Right now, it's not. I mean, anytime that you can just the way that they're spending money is the way that they just got rid of, well, they didn't get rid of it. I don't know what happened to it, but they just moved $1.7 billion in debt. Of college debt somewhere. I don't know where it is, but the way that they can do that for 150,000 students, they are really trying to line their stuff up for November, okay? But yeah, please
listen. We have been doing work to promote voter participation for students. And for example, we have under the federal work study program now allow students to get paid through federal work study to register people and to be nonpartisan poll workers. As we know, this is important for a number of reasons. One, to engage our young leaders in this process and activate them in terms of their ability to strengthen our communities.
This is called registration, voter registration.
And they're going to be paid.
By
the federal government.
Which means us.
Who would you vote for? Would you vote to get rid of the people that are paying you?
Of course
because
not.
Because the other people get in, they're going to stop. Well, I don't know. No. Hey, just because it started doesn't mean it's going to stop. Because Republicans don't stop government like stuff like this. So just think about that. And Emma Robinson, y'all know Emma Robinson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Emma Robinson, she was worried about the same thing I was when it comes to voter registration. I'm going to read to you something that she wrote, and Scott Pressler didn't like it. But, I mean, what she said was something that I've even brought up that topic. She said, if voting machines are rigged, what's the point of registering more voters for your party and pretending that you will be a winning strategy in 2024? The strategy must be paper ballots one day to vote. That's what Emma Robinson said.
I totally agree with that.
Now, Scott, who is just registering people right now, which is a good thing on paper. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But it shouldn't be the only thing. He said, this isn't helpful. We don't control the governorships in Michigan, Pennsylvania, or Wisconsin. Well, I mean, if that's the way you're going to do it. We either play the game, register new voters, become election day workers, use all of the above approach to voting, engage in legal ballot harvesting, or lose. By the way, in 2022, we won in places like California and New York. Because we use the methods I described, but actually, you didn't win New York because of that. And this is one of the stories that I was going to bring up today, because New York is getting ready to redistrict. And which, when I look more into the story in the video, the reason why Republicans won a little bit more is because of redistricting that happened that was only supposed to be in there for a year because they didn't like who was doing it. So they got an independent redistrict person to come in. They redistrict before 2022. Republicans won. Now they're going back in. And from what they're saying, they might get more representation out of New York in the House. So it wasn't because they registered more people. It was because of what they did up there in New York with the redistrict king up there in there. For me, I responded to Emerald. I said, "Well, I've been trying to say this openly and publicly that registering voters is not enough. It's a great talking point, but on election day, if those registered voters don't vote or if they can't get to a voting station." Because they don't have transportation, what happens? How does that help? Is there a system to place a call to them a couple of days to remind them that they have to vote? Is there a system in place to make sure that you know if they need help getting there? I mean, you know, if they're
how far is your guys' polling places from you? I mean, mine's walking distance.
Mine's about 10 minutes. Yeah.
I guess maybe in some of the world.
I have a car.
I could still walk.
In the city, a lot of people don't have cars. They have buses, yeah. But in smaller cities, they don't have buses. Like in the city where I grew up in Cambridge, they don't have buses to drive you around. You if you don't have a card, you know, and whatnot.
I think like long term, I'd like to see us to get like none of this. We can't do any of this by 2024. It's too late.
Right.
So I think that long term, I am for the paper ballots and the one day voting. But this year, I'm telling you, we got to concentrate on those 15 swing state counties. We got to not try to do the whole thing because we're never going to do the whole thing. We don't have enough time.
Yeah, I was going to say both Emerald and Scott are right. Emerald is right. We need paper ballots. Agreed. There is a 0% chance we're able to impact that before this next election.
Right.
0%. Scott is right where we need to play this election on the rules given. And I mean, it's the swing states. Hutt's broken down to 15 counties. It's really like five states are going to decide this.
And it's those counties, and those counties are the population hubs,
right?
Of those counties, and when you look at the Democrat control for the last 50 years of every one of those counties, they know every single address they need to know.
Right.
So that's the way you break them. You break them by the addresses. Scott, well, I hope you're hearing that, man. You got a hell of a lot of energy.
And you have to understand how the system is rigged for the Democrats to understand what we're fighting against. And I'm not saying that it's illegal or anything. Google targets people that they know are Democrats and will feed them more ads about voting. Facebook knows if you're a Democrat. So us as conservatives will get fed an ad about cooking chicken. They'll get fed an ad about voting.
And all it took was five likes.
Yeah, exactly. And they know your profile. So Google, Facebook, all the social media platforms are going to send push feeds to everybody about voting if you vote Democrat. This Kamala thing, the list they're using to get them to register are people that are signed up for Obamacare, which is 90% Democrat.
Did you say Facebook is going to send what again?
Yeah, so Facebook will prioritize. They did it in the last election. They prioritized content about voting and elections to people with a leftist or with a Democrat profile. So if you're sitting there with somebody who's a Democrat and you're a conservative, the Facebook algorithm would
you get a notice.
You and it's not like a hard notice always, not like, hey, go vote.
Right.
But it's they're gonna push content to you that says, hey, make sure you register, or hey, you know, and it could be an article, it could be a meme, it could be an ad. And it's funny, I've referenced that Time magazine, how they fortified the election article that came out right after 2020. They flat out said that. And so, you know, and we've talked about on the show, if you're talking about Legos, all of a sudden you look on a website, any website, Breitbart, and all of a sudden you get a Lego ad, right? Well, if you're a Democrat, Google AdSense, which controls the ads, is going to push you voting information. And if you figure how much time people spend online, it doesn't take much for them to swing 10, 20, 30, 50,000 votes in these states, which is enough to wreck it, you know.
Go ahead.
Let me also say, Scott Presley's right, Emma Robinson right, and Wayne Dupree is right too, okay? Because, I've lived in a town that people don't have transportation. And if there's one thing I know about Democrats, they transport their people to the polls if they have to. I've seen it. I don't see that with Republicans, but I've seen it.
Oh, they stop at several polling places.
And that,
you're right, as a matter of fact.
But we don't have that here. And I'm sure that there are some people that, especially if he's going here and here and here and picking up all these registered voters and whatnot in Johnsonville, sick a township, or well, no, whatever. So, you know, you check on these people. You check on these people, let them know this wasn't, you know, some type of numbers thing. I care about you. We call and check up on you. How you doing? You know, just want to make sure that you know election is next month. Yeah, thank you very much. It's the caring type of thing. And that's what I'm talking about. That, you know, anybody can do. We just flipped Pennsylvania on paper.
but the Pennsylvania Supreme Court came down and nullified it.
Right. Like that. You know?
Well, so, yeah, it's, and that's why this RNC changeover is going to be so important, because the RNC is what we got to ride with this election. And
you support Laura Trump?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Mike Lindell is my first choice.
I don't know anything about her.
Somebody.
I don't care about the RNC. Right, I don't care about the RNC.
People are putting that online right now. I'm like, what are y'all trying to do? Because they're putting Scott's name up there. And I haven't.
I don't think whoever they put in there, I don't think it's going to make any difference, man.
Not right now.
I just hope whoever's there. I mean, because guys, we're down to how many months till the election? I just hope whoever's in there, every dollar that comes in gets routed to something that's going to produce votes.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I don't take them serious. Aren't they broke?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 or 10 million, I think, is what they're sitting on. Not much.
That's the Romneys did that.
But, you know, some people are saying, well, Laura has retracted what she said, but she said that she's going to make sure that it goes to the candidate, you know. I was like,
if you look if you look at Ronna McDaniel's farewell speech, she basically said that we need to make sure that everybody understands how important this building is. We are the force here. It was a terrible speech.
You said that?
Yeah. Did you see it, Jason?
Yep.
It was horrible.
She's awful. And she's right. The RNC does nothing to produce votes. They do everything to produce donations.
That's it.
That was their mission, and they were highly successful at it till the last 12 months when everybody's sick of them not driving any results. I tell you, an interesting one for head of the RNC would be Vivek. And the only reason I say that is here's a guy that came from nowhere, very efficiently spent money and very efficiently leveraged media to get 5-10% of the vote, which was pretty amazing if you think of it. Like, nobody even knew who Vivek was a year ago. So I would be curious what he would do with the money.
They have Deanna.
Yeah. Wow. Look, with the eye surgeon. Now they're showing me ads with eyeball surgeon.
I got dizzy there for a second. Oh my god, Jonathan.
What? Jonathan Cato, are you from the Cato Institute?
I don't even understand what Jonathan's trying to say.
I don't know. He says people want Obamacare. What people? The Catos.
Right.
Oh Lord.
Maybe that's Carl's like alias.
That reminds me, Debbie Mathis, right? Was that Debbie Mathis that they were talking about that got blocked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I found the name and I unblocked it. So if y'all let her know, I don't know how I got, I mean, it was right at the top. I don't know how I got blocked, but it was right at the top. But Carl, I didn't unblock you, Carl. But I don't know how you're watching it, but keep on watching. and thanks for the cause, man. I really appreciate the cause.
The church you'll be giving the money to, Carl, EagleBrookChurch.com. You can check it out.
Carl, their Sunday got no
service.
Money.
Their Sunday service was great. It was talking about what a man is and how its masculinity is important. Like, I have the most unwoke church ever. They're like, we can't pretend that there's not men and women. Men are important. Men, you need men. Women are important too. They just do different things. It was a great sermon.
Yeah, somebody translating the show into French or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think.
Dobzy, dobzy.
Yeah, we really need, we do need women, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men and women are designed to be two halves of a whole. That's what God said.
Well, we need women to clean the house. But you know.
That
there's a truth in every joke. Clean the house, man. Yeah.
You look at Nathaniel Wade. Old Big Fanny must make a hell of a sandwich.
Oh my God! Did you guys watch that hearing yesterday?
No. You know what I watched yesterday?
I would have though.
You know what I watched yesterday? more House of Cards. I'm
telling you're hooked.
I'm talking about that. I'm serious. I can't.
I still didn't get to it. I didn't get to it yet. I will.
Oh God!
Just for the intro.
Oh man!
See, I was tied up on the couch and I had to throw the doing some work on the computer and I threw up the Fannie Wade trial, which was funny. So Nathan Wade's buddy from college, who's his lawyer who represented in his divorce proceeding, was up there and just lying through his teeth. It appeared, and it was like they're asking him a question like, so did you know they were banging? What do you mean banging? Did you know they were having an unprofessional relationship? I can't really say I did. Okay, this text is from 2017. The dude thought if you deleted texts, they went away. And he's like, this is from 2017, where you're referencing them having, or whatever the year was. And the guy's like, oops.
It's nice to see some lawyers playing hardball for a change on our side.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right. I did send you the guy who was in his underwear, right?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
What's up with that?
Yeah, there's, you know, how many of y'all have seen House of Cards?
I have.
I have not.
I know you're angry. You should be. But I had to do it.
Is this some sort of apology, or you need to get something off your chest?
That's husband and wife. That's President of the United States. That's his wife. What happened?
And his character is based on Mitch McConnell.
Basically. And yeah, from Kentucky and everything. So to make a long story short, it was peace process with the Russians. But the Russians had a prisoner who was homosexual. And he had to say, he had to read something to get released. And he didn't want to read it the way that he was given. And the president's wife was in the cell with him and wouldn't leave until he decided he was going to leave. Then she woke up, people walked in, the guy had hung himself. So now she all sensitive and everything. They get in front of the media and she turns around to the Russian president and says, this is your fault, basically. This is your fault. Shame on you. Knocked down the whole peace process. So now the president's mad. She knows he's mad, and now she's trying to go in there and fix things, but the president's angry.
I want you to try and understand.
Understand. What you did was beyond.
I know.
You're not only the first lady and an ambassador, you're also my wife.
In what order?
Oh, come on, Claire.
I said what I said for him. Not for myself, not for us. Felt we owed him more than a few false words.
So you want me to forgive you, to say that it was okay?
No.
Because I can't do that.
I'm not asking you.
Then why are we even discussing it?
Because I want you to know why.
I don't care why. I don't care what your reasons are. There is no reason that can possibly convince me that you should have sabotaged a peace plan we spent months on.
It was a political mistake. Yes, I admit that. But if I had said nothing, his death would have meant nothing.
No, not death. Don't give him that. Suicide.
No. Something undeniable. I was not going to try and deny it.
I don't even understand that.
If you'd give me a chance.
I gave you a chance with the recess appointment, with the resolution, with handling Corrigan.
He didn't have a choice, Francis. We cornered him.
He did have a choice.
Not in his mind.
No one forced him to protest in Moscow. And we sure as hell didn't ask him to tie your scarf around his neck.
If you had spoken to him and heard what he had to say.
Oh, what? I would have had some moral epiphany?
Yes, you would
have. I don't think so. Because I'm the president of the United States, and I can separate the big from the small.
He wasn't small.
He was a coward, and I'm glad he's dead.
He had more courage than you'll ever have.
Oh!
Do you really want to discuss courage, Claire? Because anyone can commit suicide or spout their mouth in front of a camera. But you want to know what takes real courage? Keeping your mouth shut, no matter what you might be feeling. Holding it all together when the stakes are this high.
We're murderers, Francis.
No, we're not. We're survivors.
If we can't show some respect for one brave man and still accomplish what we set out to do, then I'm disappointed in both of us.
I should have never made you ambassador.
I should have never made you president.
What are you looking at?
Oh my God. House of Cards, boy.
Some creepy people, man.
House of Cards. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally creepy people.
Thank y'all for. I saw that this morning. And I'm sitting there. You know, like it was like fire. I mean, but honestly, President of the United States, you know what? Like we were saying yesterday, a whole lot of things that we have seen. That we watched on House of Cards and that we watched on the West Wing and stuff is happening in our government.
100%.
In the House of Cards, he took FEMA funds and used it as a national emergency to get jobs for the American people, to make sure that everybody had a job and whatnot. And we had never seen anybody until President Trump move funds like from the Pentagon to the border thing. And actually, tell you, Chief, I was happy when he did it. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, damn. Because I try to look ahead. I'm like, damn, what happens if the Democrats do that with climate change?
They're going to do the same thing.
They're going to do the same thing. They're going to say
it's elections.
And they try. They were talking about doing that a couple months ago, about claiming what I mean. The Democrats in Congress wanted Biden to classify climate change as a national emergency, so that they can fund different things with the national emergency fund.
They're going to try to make climate change like the pandemic.
Yeah,
they're going to try to control what you do because of this lie.
People have to understand too. When you declare something a federal emergency, it gives the federal government almost unlimited power.
Suspends the Constitution, pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much. They can spend money on whatever they want. They can institute whatever rules they want. And so when you hear them say, we're going to declare climate change national emergency, you need to get the hair on your back of your neck standing straight up going, oh, this is really, really, really bad.
Because you know what's going to come along with that? They're going to mess with the food.
Right. Oh, they're going to impact 25 different things. They're going to give all the money to China to build electric stuff for us. They're going to.
They're already trying to do it. And thank God that now we saw this over in Italy. I read this a few months ago. But somebody from the House came with legislation to stop the laboratory beef or the laboratory meat in the United States because that's where it's going or that's where it has gone, you know, in making this fake meat.
It's on the shelves.
It is on the shelf. And yeah, actually,
it's right next to the regular stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and it's growing. I don't know if you've been to some of these places, but it's growing.
Yeah.
You know,
there is a good sign. Now look at what's transpiring with the electric vehicles. They're dying. Yeah. They're dying on the vine. It's wonderful to watch.
Right.
Mercedes is out. Toyota's out.
Yeah. You might be able to get an electric vehicle really cheap if you want one.
Apple's out.
Yeah. They stopped theirs. They stopped their program.
$1 billion program.
Money's a powerful thing, man. It's a powerful sobriety. You got these car lots full of vehicles that won't sell.
Well, the political officials have largely gotten paid off of it already, so they'll move on to the next thing here. Give it a year or two.
Yeah, it's all part of a plan, though. I mean, and you're knocking the plan. I mean, they're going to get rich anyway.
Right.
But at least we're not subjecting ourselves to... You look at I saw an overhead picture of a busy intersection. in New York City the other day. And I tell you, there was only like two lanes of a passable road. They had all these big areas cordoned off with white stripes on them. And it's like they funneled this grand wide boulevard that could probably hold six lanes. You've seen the pictures in New York or been there, down to one lane, down to two lanes. It's like they want this, they're trying to kill these cars. And it's not for the environment. It's so they can control where you go.
Right. Isn't it funny, too? I mean, as you look at electric cars, it is the most ridiculous thing ever because they're expensive. We have no repair technologies. We don't even have the infrastructure to charge electric cars.
They're too heavy.
They're too heavy. Yeah. Like your guardrails. I mean, people don't know that. They go through guardrails when they hit them because the road and it puts extra wear and tear on the road because they're so much heavier. Like none of the infrastructure is built to handle electric cars.
And you know what hasn't happened yet? Way to a big wreck.
Right.
With a couple of these things.
Yeah. Battery fires.
But or like wreck into a bus.
Yeah. Just every part of it is stupid. And half the population thinks we need to do it.
It's nuts. A whole bunch of corals.
We have a live shot of Mitch McConnell talking about talking about
he's running the marathon there.
Mitch McConnell is speaking about stepping down, and you know, some people are like, well, why is he stepping down until why is he waiting for November?
So it'll take him about long to get there.
Yeah, he's a turtle. But no, honestly, if I were correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong with this thinking, but beware of the people, like y'all said, beware of the people that come behind.
Absolutely.
This one, because he's leaving because he's old and senile. But don't you think he's groomed Thune?
Oh, he does. Of course he did. Okay. They're probably the ones that told him to leave, Wayne.
Is that right? Hey, look, we got it. We'll take care of it. You know, I'll come out and support Donald Trump, but we're still laying the things. You know, you just say that you're leaving in November. We'll get everything in line and stuff. Everything will be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Thune's going to do the I think Thune's the most likely person to try to move into that spot. And I don't think we'll get any different results than we did with Mitch McConnell. But I think it was Hutch hit it on the head where Thune endorsing Trump means he's going to try to buddy up to Trump to get Trump's endorsement. And hopefully Trump doesn't fall for it.
I think you're right. It's he's second in command, so it would be crazy if he doesn't get it. It's possible. I do too. That, and then the question is going to be, see, Mitch McConnell was a special kind of guy, man. Mitch McConnell, he was Frank Underwood, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's to see if John Thune has that kind of spine.
Right.
He might not be able to handle it like Mitch McConnell.
You know what? You're right. Mitch looked like a turtle.
He's ruthless, though. They say he's the most ruthless guy.
Exactly. Right. There you go. And I can see that.
Yeah, me too.
I can see that in McConnell. I can't see that in Thune. Thune looks a little bit light and loafer to me for some reason. I don't know. I mean,
maybe that's why he's there.
I might be wrong. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
because that's the thing. They're not, this isn't independent thought. They're speaking right for other people.
Right.
And see, I think when Trump wins and let's assume Thune gets it, I think he'll have like a Paul Ryan run where he'll have a short run and he'll be like, whoa, because whoever's in that Senate seat is going to be stuck as the sandwich between the establishment and MAGA. And like for Johnson, it's pretty easy, relatively easy, because he has enough people in the House that can stop anything from happening. And he just knows where MAGA's going to go. I think for the most part, he's fairly MAGA. But in the Senate, Johnson. Yeah, using that as a comparison. So he's got 20 guys or 10 guys that have his back. That's enough to stop legislation. I don't know how many MAGA people you have in the Senate.
Well, here's the thing that you got to watch in the Senate. How many people were toeing the line because of something that McConnell had on them?
Right.
What's Thune though? You know, what who's, are people going to change their colors once McConnell leaves. I mean, this is a dynamic that happens in all groups.
Oh, he's passing the black book on, Hutch. You know
that. He might, but people might not be afraid of Thune as much as they were of McConnell, is what I'm saying. He was in there
unless McConnell hands over his black book to Thune.
No, he might do that. He might do that.
Right, and then Thune gets the Superman crest on his chest, and
it's going to be fun to watch.
He comes out talking yesterday. Hi, my name is John Thune, and then tomorrow, this is what we're going to do today. Like, uh-oh. He got the keys to the kingdom.
We'll just have to take him out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoever the replacement is, I think they're not going to have a very long tenure, will be my thought on it, because it's kind of like if you have that NFL head coach who coached the team to pretty, you know, did an effective job for decades. The next guy comes in, and in 2 years he's fired, and then they bring in somebody else. So they're going to bring in Mitch McConnell 2.0. And Mitch is a special breed, love him or hate him. And I'm not a Mitch McConnell fan, but Mitch McConnell was pretty effective at what he did. It's just what he did wasn't defend Republican values.
He defended the Chinese Communist Party values.
Yeah, he was just owned by them. He was owned by corporations, and he did a really effective job of getting corporations rich.
You what?
I don't know.
Yeah. So then what happens with the shipyard in China? Does Thune get access to daddy?
We're going to find out.
Is his wife Chinese? Is Thune's wife Chinese?
I don't even know what he is.
He probably married. He's probably Mitch McConnell's son-in-law or something like that.
Might be. That's another. He's almost virtually unknown.
Right.
I've been talking about him for years.
I know, right? Yeah. He's like a quiet type of dude, isn't he?
Looks like James Bond or something.
All right. I was gonna say. I just looked it up. John Thune's wife is Kimberly, just a blonde-haired lady like John Thune. She's South Dakotan, grew up in Dollard, South Dakota, attended Biola University in California.
Him or her?
Yeah. What's that?
Him or her?
She did. She has a background in politics. She was involved in the Republican Congressional Club and the National Prayer Breakfast between 96 and 98.
Oh, she's part of the family.
And she delivered the keynote address at the American Heart Association 2012. Works as a business development executive at Sanford Health. So, yeah.
She's part of the family. Christian, you know, the Christian breakfast thing is part of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that DC Christian family thing. There's a documentary on Netflix about that.
Yeah, that was a interesting.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Christian
family. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 All the staffers live in the same house and whatnot. Yeah, boy. Yeah. And then you also have some of those lawmakers that live in the same house, too.
Schumer shacks up with a bunch of guys.
I bet he does. The Penguin. The Joker. He's a Joker. With that said, that probably closed another. I mean, it's the one people that need to resign too. Hutch said he would go five deep, though. What, five deep, 10 deep? Is that what you said?
With the Senate,
just leadership, period.
Yeah, I mean, it's all set up, it's set up like a dynasty, you know, it's all set up for this exact situation. You know, you got three other guys behind Thune. You got John Cornyn, John Barrasso, and I don't know who the other guy would be, but they're up there.
Drudge says that McConnell is the last bulwark against MAGA. I'm like,
I hope he's right.
I don't see it.
Well, you're not supposed to say that. This is a well orchestrated event here. Let's see.
I think Hutch hit the nail on the head, and I think what you're seeing is a succession just like you used to see in medieval times with the king or the baron or whatnot. The only difference is these people are connected through money and corporations instead of through bloodlines. So
right.
I mean, it's like the guys that pulled the strings on McConnell and gave him all the money, which is how he controlled the senators, and they kind of told him what to push. They've got the next guy picked out. And I mean, that's a key thing McConnell had. He was like McCarthy, where he controlled the money.
He got fired because of that Ukraine bill. That's what happened.
Right.
Who? McConnell.
He was supposed to get that.
They spent a month doing that. Everybody's hat is in the ring. It's the most important legislation Mitt Romney or Chuck Schumer ever worked on, and he blew it.
God, think of that statement, too. The most, you're a senator. He's been in the Senate for 150 years. Like, I think he was at the Colonial Convention, and he says the most important legislation he's ever worked on is $60 billion to Ukraine.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what the donors are in his ear about.
Right.
And Zelensky came out and said, we've lost 31,000 soldiers, which I believe is more. But
400,000.
Yeah,
add a zero. We lost 31,000. I'm like, so you want 60 billion so you can, so what, more?
You know? Zelensky's not going to last much longer. I'm surprised he lasted this long.
I am too. Dude, you're not winning that thing. You're not.
I read something the other day too that was interesting, and I don't know if it's true, but all those tanks we sent them that were going to be the difference maker, they're all blown up.
There was only a few of them. There was no way those tanks were going to make a difference. Plus, those tanks were developed in the 70s.
Right. But I mean, all the tanks, too, we sent and then everybody else sent.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened with all that ESG stuff from Europe. Right. They made all these mortar carriers and combat vehicles. They took the insulation for the circuitry. And instead of using synthetic fiber to cover these wires, they use stuff made with corn silk and corn products, and they parked them out in the field, and the freaking mice got them.
Yeah.
And they freaking ruined them all. I saw the video of them starting up a Russian mortar carrier, and as soon as they started the engine, 10,000 mice came pouring out of that thing.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And we're doing the same thing in our military. You know, using that biofuel and stuff like biodiesel, and it's ridiculous. You should have seen those mice, though, man.
I was going to say, I'm taking a note. Like, I got to look for the mice video.
Go ahead, it's out there.
It probably looked like
looks like liquid coming out of there.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody remembers roaches used to scatter when that light turned on. It almost looked like the floor was moving.
Hey, my brother used to work as a repairman for Radio Shack back in the day. Hmm. And people would bring him in like stereos and different stuff like that didn't work in the wintertime when it's cold out.
Uh-oh.
And he'd open those things up. They'd be filled with roaches.
Yep.
Going for the heat.
Yep. And then when they do leave, you get all these brown spots everywhere. And
You never lived until you woke up.
I know.
What do you call them? Way water bugs.
Oh yeah, I remember those. I remember. Yep. Yeah, I grew up. We had roaches. But when I went to Hawaii, I left home, got into the military, went to Hawaii. You know. Even before I left, we had moved, so we got rid of a whole lot of that rodent stuff and everything. But went to Hawaii. I'm in my dorm room watching TV, and something flies into the room because the door was open. Something flies into the room. I had never seen a flying roach before. I had never seen
one of the long ones.
It was long.
They got armor. They got body armor.
It almost rivaled a grasshopper. No, I mean a praying mantis. It almost rivaled the size of a praying mantis. Never seen a flying roach.
Oh, I seen them. I was in Iraq, and I got to my room, and it was all the stuff was out of it, and there was five of those dead, and I could smell bug spray.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I knew the guy before me sprayed him and tried to kill him. Well, I'm not doing that every day. I'm finding out where these boys are coming from.
Right.
And I found I was an officer. I had a really good barracks, man. I had a shower. Right. I go in there and I'm looking in the drain and there's none of them little covers, you know, for a drain with the to keep stuff out. They're coming from in there. There was no trap or nothing. There was a sewage thing, but there wasn't a trap. It was just went from the floor of my shower into the sewer. So I put a rock over that sucker when I wasn't using it and they were gone. But I was nasty, man. But I had to. It's like, look, man, you're in Iraq. You got to take what you got, man. There's people out there living in trailers and tents and stuff.
Yeah, there's people without food and stuff, yeah. You know.
I'll handle it. Sandbags over the window on the roof.
I don't know whether you have seen or heard. Or you know, it's Fannie Willis thing in Florida and Georgia is still going on, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to be going on this long, but this is going on for a long time. Well, Brian Kemp just came out and said that Fannie Willis case against Trump even more political after a fair revelation. So
he's a turd, that guy.
Yeah, he said, I got to be careful about what I say here because I was subpoenaed by Fannie Willis in a special grand jury, but it's hard to believe that a process that I think many people, including myself, believe is very political, regardless of the merits behind the case, has gotten even more political now because of her actions and those of Mr. Nathan Wade and others.
Well, thank you, Governor, for not getting her off the case when you could have done that real easily.
I have to say, one of the guys I work with is from Atlanta, and mm-hmm. I have watched way too much of this Fannie Willis trial. Every American should have to watch it and see these people and see how just they're just blatantly lying and they're corrupt as hell. And it is literally a House of Cards episode.
What I saw when I watched a little bit of it, Jason, was and you watched more than me, so straighten me out if I'm off here, but it looked to me like they were just like street people. They weren't even, it didn't sound like a lawyer, like this was a distinguished attorney general or whatever. She looked like a gang leader or something, the way she was talking, and him.
Yeah. So they're all from, it sounds like, inner city Atlanta, and they talk very street. And this is Fannie Willis going after President Trump saying, yeah, I got my G's. And she's saying it like that. And I'm like, wouldn't you know, it's kind of like with Fetterman, like put a suit on when you go in the Senate. Like you're on trial defending your stuff. At least try to have a moratorium of being respectful. And like these guys are just lying and they're evading questions and they're asking them yes, no questions and they refuse to answer. And it's really awful. I can't do justice for how awful it is. And I will say too, it's really funny because the lawyers on the Trump side aren't that good. And there's like five different lawyers asking questions and like one or two of them are really good and ask really pointed questions. And like the first day when they were asking Fannie, they were trying to ask like where she was staying. And it was a 20-minute process because Fannie kept evading. And finally, the other guy gets up and goes, so let me get this straight. You were staying from here. You were staying here, from here to here and here, from here to here. She's like, yes, because there was nothing else she could
say. Now, those lawyers you're talking about,
yeah,
those are lawyers. Like, this is a RICO case. It's not just about one guy.
Right.
So aren't those representing, like, other people? Like, if it wasn't for the one guy, we wouldn't even be here.
Correct.
One defendant. I forget his name, but.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's the one that brought the charges, the disqualification charges.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. And it turns out the evidence seems to be pretty compelling that Fannie was, these guys were having an affair back in 2017. And then the affair continued. She lied about it. There's all sorts of funny money laundering. She was claiming that he was paying for trips and she was paying him back in cash.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, where are you getting the cash from?
Under my bed.
Yeah, my dad always told me to have cash on hand. And they're like, that's like $3,000. How much do you have? Well, you know, and she had already said she had never had more than like 10,000 on hand. And at one point she said, I just kept it for my campaign. And if you are prosecuting Donald Trump, you're really going to conduct $3,000-$4,000 transactions in cash. You think that's good? I mean, whether it's improper or not, like you would never, you can't be a very smart person, or you just have to think you're above the law.
I think that's what it is.
Right.
I do. I honestly believe that. I think these people think that there's no way that
when you, yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, no,
that's right. It's how I feel. I think that they, I think the whole Democrat Party feels that way. I think they think they've corrupted the judicial system so bad. That guy that's the judge on that case donated to her campaign when she was running for Attorney General.
He worked for her.
He's afraid of her.
Right? And that's why I think that it's still going on. But like you said, and we have seen over a long period of time, mostly on the Democrat side, and, you know, I can call it out in the middle, but it's true. Most of the people on the Democrat side think that they're Hillary Clinton or in some form of Hillary or Bill Clinton, that the charges will drop off of them and they won't get into trouble. Where they don't see it is that the people up top are more closer to Hillary Clinton than the people at the bottom. So when you get freshmen and sophomore people that think that they're like Hillary Clinton, those people are going to get into trouble. Those people are going to get sacrificed on a larger scale than somebody from Nancy Pelosi. That Nancy Pelosi homosexual hammer thing and stuff like that, I'm like, there's something going on with that, that somebody squashed that. That's House of Cards stuff that happened out there in San Francisco that morning when the police came by. And, you know, good as well, if the police are at your door, why are you going to try to take the hammer away from the guy? Why? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why are you going to try to take the hammer away from the guy? Whatever. So
the thing is, if that would have been a normal person's house, the police would have shot him
right through the window.
The whole thing's weird.
The right through the window. And there's a whole lot of things that are weird. I was going to say, we were talking about the Fannie Willis saying George Kemp, y'all already know about the Mitch McConnell is stepping down. We broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We make sure that you are tuning in to what we do and how we do it. We're getting ready to go. Keep your eyes on the news that's happening. If you see anything strange or if you want to send us some tips or whatnot, you have our phone number. You see it right up there, 800-895-5725, 800-895-5725. Check out Hutch's Cold War Radio on Rumble. I'm getting notification about that, I guess.
Getting emails and everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like you're getting pretty decent views too.
Yeah.
A few of them. Yeah. I'm happy.
And then we got Jason. Jason has his American Tribune.com or .news. You can check that out over there on there. And definitely don't forget WayneDupree.com. Okay. Whatever you don't forget. And you know, I'll go back and say thank you for everybody that's sharing on your social media timeline. Thank you for people that share the tweets also, because that's another way that we get our message out. You know, I try to get the videos out too. And I try to get certain things out, but if you see a video, share it. If you see whatever you see, share it. And if not, I'll block you if I ever see you. So we got to get ready to go. I'm trying to get Alan West back on.
Oh, nice.
Alan West was responsible for this.
Yes, sir.
Giddy up.
Best in pocket, 2014.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
So, oh, man. 2014. Remember that, Hutch?
He rolled in with a posse, too, in that big Suburban.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He was good guy. I liked him a lot.
2 years. We had been on the scene for 2 years. And after 2 years, we won. And we would have won 2 years in a row. But
yeah, that was a little blow.
Yeah, I helped another group get it.
I was fighting against them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the group that kicked Santos out.
Yeah, yep. All right, final thoughts, Jason and Hutch. Go.
Well, hey, two thoughts for me. Well, other than folks, Hutch, Wayne, great show. Thanks for tuning in. Common sense, folks. Always use common sense. If something looks weird, it probably is. And speaking of which, I've been waiting for somebody to dig into this, and I can't verify the veracity of it. But I retweeted it out this morning from a journalist called Mel. Her tag is @villagecrazycatlady. She finally dug into Letitia James' finances. And all these folks that have been digging into these prosecutors, because you know they're dirty, right? It was a fascinating read. I can't verify any of the information in it. But it's looking like Letitia James is dirty. So as she's doing all those tweets about Donald Trump, hopefully the hammer comes for her too.
What an evil person, man. I'll tell you. I hope they do figure it. I saw that article. I didn't read it, but I saw it. This is out of the New York Post because in politics, there's no coincidences. Former aides who worked directly with then Vice President Joe Biden in the Obama administration have called current fears over his age a very real issue, with some alarmed at how he has become more frail and mumbly. If you watch Joe Biden speak, oftentimes he sounds frail, and he sounds more frail than he used to, even in 2019 and 2020. John Favreau, the chief speechwriter for Obama when Biden was vice president, said in a recent episode of Pod Save America, "The voice sounds frail. He shuffles more because of the arthritis in his back," adding that the oldest ever president also appears mumbly. There's the money shot. John Favreau, Dan Pfeiffer, David Axelrod, and John Lovett are all on the record within this report. Joe Biden will not be the nominee in 2024. I don't think it's going to be Obama either. I think it's going to be Newsom, but we'll see. There's no coincidences.
I was going to say Big Mike.
Somebody told them to say that.
There we go. All right. And I think Kamala Harris. So you get three different ways. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.